The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Franco Tolo makes me smile. Franco Tolo makes me dance.
You're an interesting species. An interesting mix. You're capable of such beautiful dreams and such horrible nightmares. You feel so lost, so cut off, so alone. But you're not. See, in all our searching, the only thing we've found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capella.
Today's guest will now be Haley Hyper.
Woo!
I'm busy. She ate too much sugar.
Okay. So, Haley. What's up?
Oh, what's up the ceiling? And it's like, with all the stars and cafeteria and all those glasses and speakers and microphones and everything.
Do you say ketchup?
Ketchup? And ketchup.
Okay, Haley. We don't have any glow-in-the-dark stars or anything when you said. That is actually a recording machine for our radio.
Oh, well, nice recording machine.
Anyways, calm down. Okay, it smells like a little bit flowery in here, so...
Do you use any perfume? Because we're not
using it. Yes.
What is it called?
Hyper Essence with a hint of anointing.
That explains it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so...
The shampoo! It's where wonders are and everything. And
does it have also a hint of annoying?
Yeah!
That pretty much covers it.
I know. Oh, okay. So you,
Do you,
Okay, we'll give you more questions now.
If you... giraffe and table?
Do you want a giraffe dancing on the table singing that we have a groaning? Or caramel dancing?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that is unpredictable.
Yes, I do.
I'm guessing it's purple tie-dye.
Oh, yeah, you were so good.
It's scary.
I just got my new one yesterday.
What color is it? I mean,
purple, shocking purple.
Whoa.
You like purple, right?
I'm actually all green.
Earth gal.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Solo Chronicles.
I'm ready for this. I'll do it. No one else can do it. Just me. Third man, the king of the web, godfather of the internet radio, the part of broadcasting. Whether I'm here or not, and I am here. Sometimes I'm on the cloud, but I'm here live for the, 21st year? I don't know. I'm not counting, are you? Yeah, there's a lot of talking going on tonight about a lot of things. and a Jiggy Jaguar comes here, you know, you get a mouthful of words and a brain full of, well, it's not full at all, but never, never without words, never with, you know, when Jig and I get together. So let's learn about what happened there at that adult movie contraption, that convention they had there. And talk to Jiggy about that. And, of course, the never-ending boring radio, as you heard. I'd rather listen to those kids than anyone. Well, maybe not you and I. All right, James. He's coming up. I'll call him soon. We'll just get through some stuff. My name is Frank. It's all a man's name. Jones, the title show. Here we go. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello, and into every bordello. You know, I just realized just at this very instant that I was making fun, and I even told Seth Meyers, don't open the show the same way all the time. You know, and here's Seth Meyers, you know, and then he goes, hey, everybody doing that? You know, he's better than that. He's funnier than that. He's got a great bunch of writers there. It's good, okay? You know, and then I just realized that every single show I've ever done here, and it's hundreds, isn't it? Yes, it is hundreds. I always started by, I've never said anything else but from ice cap to ice cap, you know? So who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Funny things going on. We'll talk to Jiggy. I'm going to call him unless he calls me and interrupts my opening half hour, which I usually do. Or, as he did one year, he got sick. And never showed up. I don't know what I talked about that week or what we did. But, you know, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. That's one of my many slogans. Me. And you are welcome for the wonderful radio. My name is Frank. It's all man's name. And I am ready to do this. Me, the difficult historian. Me, I. We had, we had some more trouble last week. Just, you know, when we're not here live and you don't see a date that follows another Thursday when you get to Juice Talk, then you know we weren't on. But we do. You'll hear stuff from me and some indie music and all sorts of stuff that goes on at SRM Media Works at the same place over there, 148.ca, where they have the stream. And the stream is also linked on to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com on every single post there. So you can hear stuff going on there. Put it on your, whatever you got. I guess everyone just uses phones. I don't think people carry around pads, iPads, and, right? They don't. Just phones. Everybody's got a phone, and the phone does everything. Who saw that coming? I'll tell you what we did see coming, episode 4 and 5, since I talked with you and since we talked with, Jonathan, on this show. Trillo and Suede, episode 4 and 5 now at YouTube. Go over there and, take a look at that. A look and a listen. You know, take a listen. Take a listen. No, it's a look and a listen because it's visual and audio, audible. Audible and audio. My son called me earlier. And he says I sound ambivalent. Do I sound ambivalent? Is that the sound? And I said I am. Ambivalence is, in a sense, the primary attitude. I don't know if it's a feeling as much as it's an attitude. It's a feelitude. It's an adding. But maybe ambivalence is a very, very good, don't say very twice. You know, I guess correct myself. You know, they don't do this, these other guys. The people with agendas on radio do not give you themselves. Guaranteed. Okay? You don't get them. There were so very few people got onto a mic, whether they were doing talk or whether they were doing DJ records or DJ records. I mean, they're doing records. Listen, that dates me. Listen, they're playing music or playing files, or if they have guests or just interviewing, or very few of them give you themselves. And although I have left out a lot of information and things that were going with me personally, that doesn't mean I didn't give you myself. I did. I give you myself. At the moment, this is me. And so you don't get, and I don't have an agenda. I have opinions, but I don't have an agenda. And we don't rehearse, you know. We don't even edit. So if something goes wrong, it goes wrong. If we can't be on, we can't be on. So, you know, this is the only place. I guess Jiggy gives you himself, too. I wouldn't admit it if I was him. That guy's funny, huh? I love, don't we love, you, one day, oh no, I'll forget it. I'm not going to do it anymore because it involves someone else I don't want to be involved with on some internet radio at all. Someone, you know, there's an awful lot to piss me off. But I think I've told you about it, too. Particular situations, I don't remember the name of one, both of them in connection with Jiggy Jaguar, that I just cut off out of my professional life, my amateur life, my life, because I just don't need, you know, there was a time when I would combat whoever was attacking me or whatever, and I'd just play along with it, and or I would show myself then there too, yell at people, whatever. But that's, I can't waste my time doing that if it's not on, if it's not my, if it's not on my side of the fence. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? There's another one. Take a listen and see what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. I told you about that. So go to get the, what is this stuff? Oh yeah, the Trillo and Suede. I got, you know, I got these, one of these days I got to go through this folder. I said I was going to do that too. We're going to do that in 2020. Watch it. Because it's 20, we're going to do that in a new decade and go through a bunch of stuff so that you, I wish you could see this. Wish is not the word. And my old shrink said, never say wish. Wish is a child's word. I know. I've been on so long that there's so much I remember saying here and there. Because it fits a lot of the things I feel or say, I don't want to say believe. It fits into the situation. But I have, you know, this Cotolo folder, you know, and I hoped, I would hope, and you can't, and I can't even use that either. All these pages that you can't see, I'll flip them for you. In this, they go back to pretty much the beginning of, not the beginning of the show, I mean the beginning year, no, not when, before there was all of the such, before there was so much traffic and so much ability to interact on interweb radio. But this stuff that's in here, including one or two, I swear to you, there's some notes or articles in here. I kept saying, we're going to do that show one of these weeks. We're going to do that show. We're going to do one about this and that. I think I should go through this entire thing with the people who listen to the show so we could throw it out. Hey, speaking of the people who listen to the show, I'm going to reveal no one got the answer to the music. The music, the song question. Remember I had a song in my head a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago already? No, it couldn't be a month ago. It's still January. Well, maybe it was. Did we start that in December? I don't know. No one guessed it. A lot of people tried. I told them there'd be a great prize. We're going to have to think of another contest to give them a great prize. Because no one guessed the name of the song or where it was from or anything about the song, in fact. No one got anything correct. So I am going to tell you, and I said it had something to do with someone on my show. It was a story that I told. Don't ask me when, as again, I don't know. About meeting, about a person who the song was connected, how am I going to say connected to? A song that was in connection to a person, a character. No, he's a person, he's a real person. The character. But there are two movies, one better than the other. The original story of the only man to escape from Devil's Island, Henri Charrier. I think I said his name correctly. I know I did. And he was known as Papillon. Papillon, which means butterfly, free-flowing butterfly, you know, in French. Papillon, I called him Papillon because he had a tattoo. In any event, he wrote a book about how he escaped, the only man to escape from Devil's Island. These, you know, and they made the movie, I remade the movie a couple of years ago. But the original theme to that movie, which just every once in a while, at random, gets stuck in my head, and that's the one I hum all day, was the mystery. Let's see if I got it here. That was the mystery. Look, I gotta get rid of my sign out. What am I doing with my mail open? That was the mystery song. I say song because it was a, let's see if I still have, do I still have a YouTube? Yeah. I'm still gonna have to go in case, go to Juice Talk. Go to Juice Talk and wake up. It's night. You know, it definitely is the other side of the long dark nights. Because today at 5, it was light again. Light again. So, getting around there light. Great things coming up. We finally got in touch with Dusty Nathan. Is this clock not working? What is this? It seems like it was 9:17 for the last 12 minutes. Is it changing? What's going on with the clock? No, it's moving. Yeah, 9:18. Okay, fine. Wow. That's for the ULI people. Because remember, the show is... played all over the place. I don't know. I don't go to listen, but if you didn't hear it now or you want to hear it again, you go there, or you can go to juicedtalk.com. The Artist D has another show or two over there, too. And there's some shows from the past. Oh, yes, Dusty Nathan. I talked with a couple of people trying to get back on the show, and they're going to be here come February because we're done with January. Speaking of that, Mr. January Shadows himself, Tom Savino, is coming back on to have some laughs and fun, because it's always laughs and fun when I'm with my old partner talking about fun and laughs. So that's going to be on. And Dusty Nathan, who, the last time we had Dusty on, we had to use a real phone. It was horrible, you know, because he wouldn't get Skype. Well, Dusty has a new computer, and with every new computer comes Skype. So we're going to have Dusty Nathan on, hopefully next week, if everything goes right, with his Skype, now that he has it, and we do a test, and it'll work out. I mean, it'll work, but a lot of people like to do tests, because they think this is a, I don't know. I don't know why, because nobody works like I do, which is not working at all. So that's how that works. Point being, Dusty Nathan, former sports writer, and... He teaches now, or what have you. He's a radio man, too. He's had radio shows, and I've been on his radio show here and there years ago on Saturdays, and we did things, I don't know. Dusty's a great guy. Dusty is himself, but he's his radio self, Dusty Nathan. And a name like Dusty, you know, it's like Smuckers. It's gotta be good, right? With a name like that, it's gotta be good. Now, Jiggy Jaguar is going to be here. If he's not, I'm going to be P.I. pissed. Remember how people used to do that? Well, that's C.R. crap. And they have to spell the first two names. Did anyone ever do that for you? Why, that, instead of just saying that's crap, they go, that's C.R. crap. They have to give you the extra two letters, the extra first two letters. I think they're going to spell it out and then just say the name. That's not even like Pig Latin. Pig Latin would be, you add stuff, right? It would be Rap K. I have all a Rap K. Now, I don't know where Pig Latin came from. I know where Latin came from. I don't know why they did that and where it originated. Maybe that's a whole show there sometime else. Oh, I want to mention this too, because one of the reasons I was off over the past 3 or 4 weeks was due to a pain problem I had.
little condition I had, which caused me pain. I was going, geez, I wish I could find pain. And then I thought about pain spray, which I tell you all the time. It's a very real, there's the ad right there. It's a very real product. It's a miracle in every bottle. You spray it on, it's pain. Well, you know, I never could find it. And even in these stores, I'd go through, yeah, is there any such thing as a pain spray? Are there pain sprays anywhere? Well, I didn't find a pain spray, but I found a pain balm. Not B-O-M-B, B-A-L-M, a balm. Balm. It's one of those words, I guess. If you say bomb, everyone thinks you mean bomb. You know, they say bomb. They go, what's a bomb? No, like a salve. So let's just call it the pain salve. I saw a pain salve that you could rub onto the thing. You know, spray it, then not spray, because you can't spray a bomb. You can't spray a salve. That happens to be the name of my next book, You Can't Spray a Salve by Frank Cotola. You're going to want to get that one out there at BAM, Bookbusters, BAM Busters, Buster BAMs. And this stuff is okay. I told you, it's, you know, none of this stuff is built up to what it used to, but I bet you it's every bit as good as pain spray made by Premier, which I constantly laugh about because it's right here. Here it is. Contains a herbal formula. Yeah, right. I don't know what it smells, like Vicks VapoRub. And, Vicks VapoRub, I believe, is also, as I learned over the time I was ill, a painkiller. Or patch is a pain reliever. These, you know, they don't call them painkillers, because that would be entirely numb, right? I mean, maybe not numb, I don't know how they do it, but a painkiller kills the pain, right? Takes it away. There's no more pain. So you can't, but a pain reliever, like this salve, pain salve, it's called pain balm, though. It's not called, it doesn't even have the name of an outfit that makes it, a company. And what's really funny, if you don't think that was funny, if you think that was serious and this is really funny, let me tell you that it costs $1. So I think, and I told you this pain spray, as I was saying, $2.99, four payments each for one tube that you spray. That's what? $12 for one of these pain sprays. I'd Premier if they still exist or what have you. And $1 for the pain salve. Now you may salve. Salve. You know when they put the L in there, like bomb and salve? It's like salve? Salvi? Let's call it salvi. The pain salvi. So anyway, I got that and it works just as well as that, which is, you know, not like a painkiller. But, you know, you get into those things and you're really in trouble. Speaking of trouble, my name is Frank Cotola. Man's name adorns the title of the show. I told you some of the things we got coming up and we hope to follow through on those. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, 148.ca/Frank, and everything else that's on 148.ca, my blogs every week of tons of fun, hundreds of them. Really? I mean, there's hundreds of them on there. I've been doing it for a year. Well, a couple of years now that I've done one a week. Anyway, there's that. You're welcome for the wonderful radio, by the way. And there was one more thing. I was just going to say that Jiggy is going to talk to us about his trip. And I don't think he has any tapes with him, or recordings, I should say, just say recordings, of him talking to porno stars. But he goes there every year. And walks around, and, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about with that. But he goes there, and he was on his show. We'll find out where you can listen to some of that stuff. I mean, I think he was live there. People do the live thing on Facebook. That costs money, doesn't it? Screw them. Really? That's crazy. Just like, I tell you what else is crazy. No, I'm not going to do that. We'll talk some other time about that. What we're going to do is try to get Jiggy. I guess if I don't, if he'll be either right on time or not at all. And I'm hoping, because he is the guest, that this is going to work. You know, the history of Jiggy and computers and broadcasting is a funny, funny thing. And I can't even recreate it over the years. I can't even begin to tell you how funny that is. because he's had machines and not computers using and programs and everything. I don't know. I don't know what he does or how he does it, but he does it. I'm going to click his thing right here, and I'm going to look for him. Look at this. We talked, what? We didn't talk. January 10th, 2019. Well, we talked for 1 hour and 33 minutes. I don't know what we'll do today. Where is that here? Let's try to call Jiggy Jaguar. And if he's not, this is now the crucial part of our guest show, a show where we have a guest right now. Is he there? Does it work? Can we hear him? Because if we don't, then I'm going to be flying around with all sorts of stories, I guess, for a while. Let's see what happens. Here we go. Oh, look at this. It doesn't, I rang it, right? Call free on Skype. Yeah. Does this work?
I gotta be able to shut that off.
Hey, that's him. Is that him?
There he is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I've got you. I was just listening to you.
Okay, well, there we, I didn't hear any, ring or whatever they do, a Skype ring or anything. It just came up.
Super Mario music, as Michael Nagy has, named it.
And boy, if I knew Michael Nagy, I would go that.
Yeah, I know. I always drop all these references. I always think everybody knows everybody that I know.
But. No, not at all.
Michael Nagy and I almost 2 years ago, dropped into state. We were driving through your state on the way to New Jersey.
Well, this is a big state. I mean, that's a long ride, you know. It's a very, yes. Right?
Yes.
Well, you but didn't almost.
So desperate to get back to New Jersey. So
but you didn't, you didn't already. You said you almost. You did. You drove through the state.
Well, we drove through the state, but we almost stopped to see you.
Well.
I was just going to drop in.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
So, yeah. But it'll happen.
And I would have known Michael Mavey.
Yes.
Did I say it? Michael Mavey?
The biggest star in the business. Don't believe him. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Okay. This is Jiggy Jaguar, and there was you passed the first test, the crucial part of the show. He's there. His computer works. He's talking. Then we can hear him.
Look at that.
So we picked it up. We found it anyway before January is over. You're on every January. So you're on January 10th last year. I just saw the... We had a couple of problems here and there with stuff, but we always do, and that's what it's all about. But I'm ambivalent, so it doesn't matter. I'm not afraid to say that. What's going on with radio now? I told everybody, and I.
There's a lot of things going on in radio.
Well, you. Let's talk about you first. Let's talk about the AVN thing. You go every single year. You go. What does the N stand? What does the N stand for? Adult video. What does the N stand for?
Adult video network.
Oh, network. Okay. Because I couldn't figure that one out. You go every single year. How many years have you gone now? This one was what?
I went 2 years in a row, and then I got my press passes yanked, and then we didn't go 1 year, and then we went back. So I would say I've probably been 4 years total.
Yanked is not the proper verb, I guess.
No, if my former Sunday radio co-host, Mr. Ross Long, was here, he wouldn't say yanked. He would say we were expurgated from the from the proceedings.
We don't have to go to that story. Tell everyone exactly. There's a lot of people that might not know what this is all about. So why don't you tell them? This is the official what? This is like
this is the. You know how, like, they have these Comic-Cons?
Comic-Con, that's what I was going to say. This is the comic nerds. The Comic-Con of C-words.
this is the Comic-Con of pornography.
The Comic-Con of copulation.
Yes! That's fantastic.
The Comic-Con of, that would be it.
That is why you are the Bard of Broadcasting, my friend.
That is just one reason. Now, it's in Las Vegas, and a regular person, I mean, what I mean is a person who's a fan, not a person who is covering it.
In professional wrestling, they refer to them as marks.
Okay.
And I often refer to people, I often refer to the porn marks.
How many, how many people are covering it like you are? Other people in what local
there's
vein?
There's USA Today's there.
The USA Today, I saw USA Today, an issue. It was, what is it, like four pages and, oh God.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Newsweek, there's, those Getty Images people that get into everything. They're there.
Uh-huh.
And then of course there's the usual, porn people like the Demon Seed Radio guys and stuff like that,
So Cozy, I only had a couple of questions. We had a lot of questions. Let's talk about it. Let me interview you.
We can talk about this whole thing. We can talk about the red carpet. We can talk about all the stuff.
Okay. Now this is still a very big business. Give me a number. You got a figure? Did anyone say like, what is it now? Because I would, they were into some trouble, with this business, considering what's happened to the porn industry and how many independents there are now, the sex workers, there's a lot of things going on, and you've seen many, I'm going to say come and go, right?
That's fine. It's too obvious. We can go down that route. That trail, as they say.
You've seen a lot of stars, a lot of performers, leave the business in the time that you've been there, right? There's a big turnover. This is like 20 questions in one. Let's go to the first one. Yeah. First one is... People want to go see all these people, right? Because they know of them. So they're going to create fans just like you want to go see Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. And well, some of these people are at conventions. I
can imagine. I'm just thinking of it.
Yes.
Now, what... who puts this together?
Well, this is actually put together by the ABN folks. They hire a publicity company to facilitate the press part of it, the expo part of it. And then since it's broadcast on Showtime, Showtime handles the red carpet and the actual awards coverage. And
now how come I get Showtime and I saw no ads for it, no anything, and I don't know, is it like archived?
What they do is Showtime doesn't broadcast it live. Showtime will air it like in a month or two.
All right, because they have to.
They'll air it as like a special.
All right. So it hasn't been on yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
And what was funny was one year I got a photographer on the red carpet. He was just elated, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he got on TV. And so we started referring to him as seen on Showtime. And then he would tell people, yeah, I was on Showtime. I was at the AVN. So
do you find it odd that the people who are going there, you pay to get in, right? Don't they?
Oh, yes. $100 a day.
Right. And then whatever they buy.
Whatever they buy. Yeah, they buy.
So people... the people who are fans get to see these people performing in ways that a lot of people they will never get to see perform, correct? That's the whole idea. It's called sex, right?
Yes.
So what's the thrill with walking up to one, I mean, you've seen it. What else is there to see? What did they ask of these people? What did they do?
They're, as Ross would say, they're perv magnets. And so they attract all the pervs.
So these people look like, are they really very weird?
The marks or the
marks.
Performers? Because the porn marks, are your typical, fat guys from the basement or, them and their girlfriend watch porn and so they're going to this event to meet the chicks or whatever.
Okay, but let's be fair. Now, everybody, anyone who just says they don't or have watched porn, forget about it. Everybody watches porn per se. So you don't have to be one of those people.
You know what's funny about that is that due to the fact that my girlfriend, who is now Jesus, I've been with this woman like 5 years now. Part of the whole reason why we got to started doing this Vegas thing is because one day I mentioned, hey, do you know what the AVNs are? And she's like, oh, yeah.
It's a
thing in Vegas. And I was like, do you want to go? And she's like, yeah, sure. So we went.
So let's go back to this, though. Yeah. The ones who show up, so you doing it for professional, you know, you get an excuse. and your girlfriend likes it, right? But I mean, I'm a pretty normal looking person, okay? I don't have those, you know, kind of features that, you know, and I don't live in my basement with my, whatever it is. I'm not one of those, that generation. Yeah. So it would be odd to see me just walking around. Is that correct?
Really?
Okay, so there are other people.
I've seen, and much like with the Comic Cons, where you'll see like 50 dudes dressed up like Deadpool.
Right.
yeah. You often see people that will show up to these events that are dressed like porn stars.
Now wait a second.
The boobs hanging out, they're doing all the stuff.
And they
walk around and look like porn stars. And, you know, there's been times that we have, in fact, the first year that we took, our photographer Bob with us, Bob was taking photos of everybody you could think of, whether they were porn stars or non-porn stars.
Sure.
It didn't matter. And he ran into several people that they were dressed the part, but they weren't in the quote unquote industry, as they say.
So what do you call the, people who are doing that? And let's say they're going to try to make their $100 back. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. In other words.
They give out, some of these different, booths will give out, you know, shirts or promotional material.
Oh yeah. How about?
There was a.
They give out room numbers? The people make?
One year, one of my reporters, what we'll say reporters, very loosely, ended up going and banging one of the porn stars later with his girlfriend. So,
I've heard that. I see, that's what it is, because I've, on a...
That's happened.
I heard someone claimed they did stuff like that at these places. It's just more than one, right? There's not just the AVN. Are there other porn conventions?
There's the AVNs, and then there is a thing we went to one year called Exotica.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
Exotica is in four cities. They go to New Jersey. They go to Chicago. This year they're going to be in Washington, D.C., of all places, and Miami. We went to the one year they were in Denver, but Exotica's a little bit different than the AVNs.
What, is it not as commercial or what? What is
it? It's not as high pressure. For whatever reason, some of these performers, when we do the one in Vegas, they are so damn nervous.
Really?
And they're like, oh, my God, you know, and all those various stuff, whereas Exotica is just like, eh.
So you're saying that whoever they are, they have, what, booths? Now, because, the AVN is one association, but aren't there different little companies?
Oh, yeah, there's
and they have booths?
Mostly, AVN has gotten taken over by the cam models.
Okay,
Chatbait and My Free Cams and Cam 4.
Yeah, all those places. Well, that's what I mean about the pornography business. It's had to expand into other areas as opposed to just making porn videos and stuff, right? They're not even videos anymore, right? they're DVDs.
There's still porn videos. One of my good buddies, James Barthelay, as he calls himself, he's always hawking the porn DVDs and all.
Well, you
that.
Said DVDs. I'm talking about, they're not videos. They still call them videos, just like they call them podcasts. And there are no iPods. Nobody has an iPod.
Right. That's right.
Should be an eCast, right? Or
eCast. What radio now likes to refer to it as digital audio.
Okay, but just don't call it a podcast. Digital audio. We'll get to those people later.
We'll get to radio and you know, this year more than ever, I think I'm getting ready to go warm my hands on the fire that is radio. But the ABNs are a heck of a deal.
$100 a day just to get in and walk around all day?
Just to get in and walk around all day, yeah. $100 a day.
Wow.
And usually on Wednesday, because it's usually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday and Thursday are kind of slow because most people are at work.
On the weekend.
Friday is when the marks come out. And then Saturday, it's just a madhouse.
Okay, now describe madhouse. Tell me what makes it a madhouse.
We're talking probably at its height, maybe 5,000 people in the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas. in these three rooms that they have everybody in.
So it's not even a gigantic area. It's three different areas?
Yeah, they have the joint, which is kind of like a little, I guess, arena kind of deal. Uh-huh. And then they have these two conference rooms. And then they have the hallway going from the conference rooms to the joint. And that's usually where the My Free Cam girls are set up.
Mm.
They're doing their thing. And then they have an upstairs called the Lair, which is all the, you know, dominatrix and guys getting spun around on wheels and things like this.
Okay, so there's the next thing. What are they doing? They're in the they're saying buy this or budget. They have their product there,
well,
and they're trying to
the
sell
Lair, in the Lair, which is always fun. Is they have a you can buy the floggers and you can buy all the you know,
just sex toys. So they have all the sex toys, right?
Yeah, but they have demonstrations. Like when we were up there on Saturday with our Macho Man Randy Savage impersonator that we had with us, Saturday was just a freaking crazy nut thing. But they were having demonstrations, and they would have various women or men who wanted to get spanked.
Okay, wait. So now, is it set up with the people, or are they taking people from, are they taking marks and doing it?
Yeah, essentially.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
They show them how to, like, there was a guy, in fact, I just edited that video today, that there was a guy that he was out for his bachelor party, and he was doing it at the ABN. And so they had him go up there, and they were showing him how you spank, and he went ahead and spanked some chick.
Well, they had to show him how to spank. They had to show him how to spank.
Yes. And then they have their various tools. Like, we had a demonstration. We did an interview with one of the dominatrix guys, and we had a demonstration of all the various tools. He had a paddle. He had a whip. He had all the various things, and was this chick who volunteered to do her thing. So,
do they sign releases?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're gonna come up there and do that,
yeah, if you're gonna go up there, you gotta sign off.
So I'm gonna assume that there's not a lot of hashtag Me Too people around or what.
You know what is funny about that is Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Was because of the Me Too situation, he was banned from the proceedings.
Yeah, I know. He got into a lot of
trouble. He is not allowed to be, although I did bump into him at the Alexis Park Hotel.
Well, I hope you didn't get hurt, because bumping into him these days, he's pretty big.
Well, you know, and you make that joke, but he apparently has dementia now.
It doesn't surprise
me. He doesn't know who anybody is, but he has a handler, and they make sure that he's fed, and he's going to get laid, and he's pointed in the right direction to go do stuff, and he's fine.
Yeah. So, all right. In essence, this is just a big business deal going on through this, right? Do you know anything about how the girls are paid? I mean, do they come from their companies, or do they have their separate production companies?
You know what's funny about that is there was one year we ended up having a late dinner, we'll say, with a woman by the name of Annabelle Peaks, who is now out of the adult industry. She's retired.
Okay.
But we had sushi with her because I hooked her up with a t-shirt guy. Mm-hmm. And so she was explaining all this to us. And for instance, with her, she was signing at a booth, and so they paid for her hotel room. So she got to Vegas and she signed at the booth, and then she had merch that she was selling. And
so the signing, the autograph thing, what, they just bring them something, or do they sell you a picture and then they autograph on it, or what? Is it
they
like
can a, do that, or they'll sell them a DVD.
Anything
or
they can do, right?
What
anything.
She was doing, which is absolutely amazing, and I don't know why more people don't do it. Part of the reason why we had late night sushi with her is because she had sold all of her breakfasts, lunches, and dinners while she was there.
To people taking her, you mean?
Essentially, these marks, what they did is they would go to her website, and they would become a member, and then they would get into like an eBay marketplace with other fans, as they called them, and they would bid on if they were going to take her out to lunch, dinner, or whatever in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then she has no problem paying for the meal, but most of these guys, they want to be, you know, real men and all this horse shit. So they will volunteer to pay for it. So she essentially goes and has lunch or dinner or whatever with these guys. And then she positions her assistant in the restaurant somewhere to kind of just keep an eye out.
Mm.
And when we got ready to have, I guess, as I said, late night sushi with her, which I didn't eat any of the sushi. I just sat there and chatted with her. She was like, well, I've got my assistant with me. And she's like, you know, she'll sit somewhere in the restaurant and, you know, just, and I'm like, why doesn't she just sit with us? Because, you know, I don't care about any of that crap. So she went ahead and sat with us, and we had a good old time. And this was right around the time that Conor McGregor was going to fight Floyd Mayweather. And they had that on one of the TVs, and she was, like, fascinated with Conor McGregor. So
mm-hmm.
we talked about porn and her love of Conor McGregor.
Okay. So
that was kind of... Which is funny because she was marking out to Conor McGregor, but
you feel like her. She's gone. They come and go. What's the lifespan these days of a? I mean, they can only go in so many genres. They can get older, right?
But, well, with her, she basically set up a brand, made some money, and then went back to her regular day job, which was being a CPA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she basically now is doing a thing where she will mentor girls who want to get into the industry. She'll help them set up a business and set up a website and get things going. And you basically pay her a nominal fee. She'll help you get everything going, and she gets you off and rolling. So
get you off and rolling. Yeah. Yeah, it's the Cotolo Chronicles. Of course, you know that's Jiggy Jaguar right here. Jigulator, Mr. Jug, Mr. Jig, Jingle, Jangle, Jingle.
That's
that,
right.
It's the Jig or Jingle, Jangle, Jingles. There you go. Just endless things you could call him, believe me.
Fraud.
here on this wonderful radio that you're welcome to, and we're talking about all this. The thing is, I had so many questions. I only knew a few porn people from way back. I mean, you know, when it was, you know, just starting to blossom in New York. I never knew a lot of, I don't know anybody when I was in California all those years who actually did it, but there, and most, no, all of them are gone, and some of them are dead. So my point is, who now, was really big and is still there, but doesn't get that kind of work. I mean, who would be struggling now because of her age? And I'm not mentioning guys because, let's face it, they're just pawns in this whole thing, right? Even though they have an awful lot to do and a lot of weird ways to do it. You know,
what is interesting is we did a, this was last year, but we did an interview with a chick by the name of Patty Plenty.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah,
and she's like 60.
Wow.
And she's still getting work, and she's doing calendars, and...
Well, that's, I mean, they've created all these genres to try to cover every possible, right, kink.
And then there's, let's see, as far as the guys, there is Evan Stone is still there, who's going to run for president supposedly in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, wait, I gotta interrupt you right there, because that's what I wanted to say. I saw your tweet about Sherry DeVille.
Yes.
So you, all right.
We interviewed her. She's fantastic.
Okay, well, listen, first of all, stop with the legendary. I mean, there's nobody out there talking about... I mean, come on. You know how I'm getting with this thing.
Hey,
now.
I put everybody over.
No, nobody. You know, she's... okay, but that's all right. I'll let you get away with that one because you're Mr. You know, you get all the people.
I always put everybody over.
I repel, you attract those kind of people, you see. But here's what I'm going. It's like, I don't know, what did you talk to her about? She's still in there because that's what she said. And the first thing I would have asked her is, what happened? Last year, because I saw her on Twitter and stuff, she said she was going to run for president. Do you remember that little thing she did?
Whether it was, I remember that. I should have.
Yeah, that was it. And
I should have done my prep. Damn it.
Yeah, you didn't do that. I didn't study it. I just happened to see it.
Exposing me right here, bro.
And I tweeted her and I said, you know, great. Well, you know, either way, whatever this is, fine. You know, you have my support. And then she tweeted back because, you know, she does that. I guess now and then it's her or whoever does it for her. Although I don't think, you know, it's not like she's Scarlett Johansson, you know. And then she didn't say anything when I said, what happened? You know, everybody's announcing, where are you? And I don't know with that, you know, that would have been a very good publicity thing and stuff. And it just went. Okay, but tell me about Sherry DeVille. What I know about Sherry DeVille and why that's, why I bring her up. Is the fact that she, you know, I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you know, she's just got it all there. But she came into the business pretty late, and she's still there, right?
Right? Oh,
she's still there, right? So, what did you learn about her that you didn't know? Or
basically, with her, she had some talking points.
Oh, wait a minute. She gave you? She gave you talking points?
Yes, she gave us talking points.
Oh, wow, that stinks.
She wanted to talk about, you know, various films she had coming out.
Oh, and that stinks. That's just a PR thing. Can't you talk?
I ask her stuff like that. You know, what is funny about this is we did an interview last year with a woman by the name of Jessica Drake, she was around when Jenna Jameson and all the...
Yeah,
all the
name back.
People were doing their thing. She's still there. And she did her interviews in a private suite. And so we had to obtain the room number. And then when we showed up, there was these two security guards trolling the hallway. Mm-hmm. So we had to get past them. So I basically showed them who I was and all the stuff. They looked on a list. And then I knocked on the door. And her manager would come to the door. And he, of course, knew who I was because he set up the interview. And then he would like, you know, give us 10 minutes and we'll get you in here. So we'd sat in the hallway. And then when 9 minutes was up, I went and knocked on the door again. give us 10 and I went at 9. And so they let us come in the room and we start setting up all of our gear while she's finishing up her previous interview. Now, she's kind of a big deal. So I wore the pink suit that day. I looked nice. Brittany had a nice dress on. We had all of our gear, which is, you know, the stick, as I call it. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, I had prep on my iPad. I was, you know, ready to go. And the previous chuckleheads that were doing
chuckleheads.
Was essentially a guy with an iPhone. Another guy with like one of those bucket hats from the 90s.
Yeah.
And he's asking her questions like, what's your favorite ice cream?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what? Like, this passes for media?
Well, maybe he meant using it sexually. Probably he didn't even have the sense of humor to ask that. But let me ask you something. How come now in the past year, I was personally in touch with two porn stars. I don't even know if they both work anymore. Okay. who got in touch with me because I was going, yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody. You know, I wanted to get one on the show, right? But I wanted it to be open, okay? I wanted to be open. I'm not going to, you know me, I'm not a gotcha guy, but they're all afraid of what have you. I'll mention their names because I'm sure you know them. I don't even know if they're in. I don't think one of them is in any. I won't mention their names. Let's just say this. We talked and talked and talked, and eventually they went, I don't know if I should do it. And they were reticent to be talking about themselves and about the business. Why would people moving away from the business be so reticent? And they're doing the Camden private shows now, right?
I would love to know who these two are. You'll have to let me know, as they say, off air.
Yeah, you'd probably know them. Yeah, I'll let you know off air. You'd probably know them. And here I am, you know, I don't even have any reason to even respect them enough to do this, to say I'll leave. But
if you want a porn star, but, you have plenty of porn stars.
Yeah, but the thing is, when I'm talking to them, I know what's going to happen, because that's what always happens. Say, you want to know, you know, what you're doing, how you do it, what would you, you know, more stuff about, I don't know what they're afraid of, and it could be me, and they could look, and yet I don't really, you know, I'm not a gotcha guy, but just talk about more normal things. I'm not going to ask them about their ice cream. Who cares? You know, or, what have you. and I just could not get, so maybe you and I, can talk. I mean, hey, listen, I even tell them, listen, Annie Sprinkle spent 2 hours with us here, a while ago, you know, and she's, you know, a foundation porn star, God's sake. And, I don't know, they just don't get it. But how much do they give? Is anybody but you? I mean, they give you talking points and stuff. Are they protecting, themselves and just keeping this image that they want? I can understand that for the marks. The marks, I understand that.
Sometimes I get talking points from their publicity people.
It's a whole machine going on there. The publicity people. Okay.
They have publicity people. You know, the one thing, and this always fascinates me about the porn business, I guess you would say.
Yeah, you would.
There is no Vince McMahon and there is no Dana White in that industry. And it just fascinates me like crazy because, you know, in professional wrestling, there's Vince McMahon.
Right.
That's the guy that kind of runs the show.
Oh, yeah, well, he's controversial, too.
In UFC, MMA, there's Dana White. Yeah. There is no Dana or Vince in the porn world. And it just fascinates the crap out of me because I'm like, there's got to be somebody somewhere pulling the strings, doing something.
Right. I mean, they have managers. I don't even know how they survive if they're going to be as legitimate as a regular artist because they're getting paid. They don't. There's no contracts, right? They get work. They do it, and they're not going to get residuals and things, right? Unless they have their own production companies.
No. Unless you have your own. Yeah.
Who are one or two of the biggest who have their own production company who make, you know, really put it all together? They would run their place, and they get, you know, more money than just, you know, X amount for doing this. Who are the big ones now?
God, I would say. Well, Katie Morgan is a pretty big deal.
Oh, God, you keep mentioning ones I don't know.
Katie Morgan was on HBO. There was a show called Pornucopia in the early 90s.
Okay. There's another
and
one.
And it was like a documentary kind of deal. Okay. And she plays an airhead really well. And that's her gimmick.
I think I've seen that.
And when we used to do, when me and, the great cousin Chris used to do Jiggy Jag TV, we would always debate, you know, is Katie Morgan an airhead? Is it a work or a shoot? And I used to always say, it's a shoot. She's really an airhead. And he's like, no, it's a work. She's just making this up. It's a work. And several years ago, I talked to her now boyfriend, Evan Stone. And I said, is it a work or a shoot? Is she really an idiot? And he goes, no, actually, she's a rocket scientist. Mm. And he's like, she just does the idiot thing to get people, like, I guess it's kind of a twerk, I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying she's still big or what?
Yeah, she's still a big deal.
All right.
Let's see. There is one, which I am going to see if I can find her actual Twitter handle. She is she's pretty fantastic. She's quite the little perv magnet. And she's kind of a big deal. Joanna Angel. Not you ever heard of Joanna Angel?
No.
She is a chick who started a production company mm-hmm. called Burning Angel out of her college dorm.
Okay.
When she was going to college. And she ended up selling it last year to something called Adult Time, and they basically became the Netflix of pornography.
Hmm.
And Joanna Angel's kind of a big deal.
Well, so she sold her company, but then what is she? She still does
she
what?
Still, she still works for him, and she still mm-hmm. basically produces porn for him, and all these things. But now she's got a budget.
So where was the and now I lost her name. Who were we talking about before? The blonde,
Katie Morgan.
No. The one you the legendary.
Sherry DeVille.
Sherry DeVille. Is she working for a company, or does she have her own company?
Sherry DeVille is working for a company called Mile High Media.
Okay, and that's not hers?
Who I've become pretty, I guess, friendly with their PR people over the years, which is pretty awesome. But and she also works for a company called OC Modeling. They book her.
Okay, so she's just doing, so she's working per job. She doesn't have
yeah.
a company or anything.
No.
Okay. And they all have websites. Is it like this? They make, 10 cents here, 30 cents there, 40 cents here, and before you know it, you're calling them real money. I mean, are they just doing all this stuff and getting their income from wherever they, wherever it shows up?
Essentially.
Okay.
There's folks like my little porn friend Catherine Taylor.
I don't know anybody you're talking about, but that's okay.
See, Catherine Catherine is like a tattooed perv magnet, and
tattoo perv magnet is different.
She started out on a thing called StreamMate, which is like one of these cam things.
Oh, like ChatterBait, like the other?
Yes. Yes, ChatterBait.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
And she eventually, got into doing, actual porn. But her husband owns one of these streaming companies. So, she's got the money coming in that way, too. So.
Why am I hearing myself backwards here? You got something on there that I'm hearing myself talk back? Okay.
I shouldn't.
Well, yeah. You never know with you. With these machines, you and computers.
Let me shut this crap off, maybe.
So are they all gone? The ones who we know of? I mean, I know that Michelle's gone. Belladonna, I've talked with her. And
oh, yeah.
I've communicated with her. She's been gone a while.
Yeah, Bette Belladonna long ago.
But she has, so she's the perfect example, though, of building a company. I guess she still makes money. Does she still have that company? Because she started a company, and then even when she left, right? Okay, so there's people like her and Bobby Starr. These ones are all gone, right? Remember Bobby?
I don't know if Bobby Starr is still in the business.
No, she's not. I know she's not. These are people that I... one way or another have tried to get or have turned me down or what have you here and there that I've tried to contact. What about Dana Almond? What about her? She was on, what's his name?
I can think of is Dana Loush, and no. She's not in porn. She's a crazy conservative gun-toting chick.
No, there were a bunch. Okay, so...
they all get Dana on. Lausch is hot. She ought to do porn.
They get on Twitter, Right? And they try to sell cams, or they try to sell one of them that I was telling you to, that I talked with, had pretty much left. And that's what I see. I don't think they want to tell you that they left it because there's no more business, because,
also do this thing called OnlyFans.
But that OnlyFans
is kind of like a,
but OnlyFans is
a Patreon, I guess you would say.
Yes. OnlyFans was created for the so-called quote sex workers unquote. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry girl or guys and, you know, are out there selling, right, doing their stuff and selling their little videos and then going on cams.
The big thing now is clips.
Clips? Oh, selling clips? You mean?
So, like,
downloading clips?
We get with, there's this group every year that we talk with. They're called Clips for Sale. And essentially, you find a chick on there or a dude on there that you like, and you send them an idea, and then they
customize
it, and they send it to you, and you get paid.
What the hell are those things cost? What do they charge for those?
$5-$10 a thing.
That's all. All I'm saying is that this is how it has changed. And it has changed because they can't do what they used to do, and that's just make those productions and sell them. These workers have to find many ways to.
The big movement is pay for your porn. That's what they always say.
Because that's how they started to get into trouble. They're the first industry. God, I was talking about them the first year we were on here, decades ago now, because they were the first true company to say, like, hey, let's look into this media thing, right? While everybody else, NPR and all those jerks, were saying, we don't want to do anything.
All those jerks.
Wait, we're not going on the internet. What is that internet thing? Now they say, NPR send, I can't believe this. They send me emails saying, save NPR. We need, and it's like, get lost.
As you call it, National Pretentious Radio.
National Pretentious Radio.
Yes.
Someone should come out. They should do National Porn Radio. You'd come with that with an NPR, and then they do podcasts too, don't they? The girls do podcasts.
Well, the girls do.
They do anything.
I actually interviewed these two chicks who have this thing called Two Girls One Mic, and they're a podcast. Okay. And what they do is they watch porn and then they discuss the plot holes.
Plot holes. Well, that must be a long show.
So they have porn people on, and they do various things, and they're quite entertaining, and they were quite entertaining when we did the interview with them. They were great.
So you and your girlfriend walk around and interview people that you know to know, but what is different from one to the next? What are the? I mean, aside from there's the dominatrix and then.
We also interview vendors who are at this. Like we interview every year, we interview the Motor Bunny people.
Motor Bunny.
Motor Bunny. Part of the reason is because the first year they sent us a free Motor Bunny, but the.
I don't know what that means. I don't know how to laugh at that. I don't. What's a motor bunny?
The very first year, we interviewed a group that has a product called the Simian.
The things they sit on
is like they got to be big because of Stern and all these guys,
right?
And we interviewed the Simian people, and they were very boring and very. Medical-ish, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. Medical-ish. I'll look that word up later.
Yes. Very, 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 very professional, all these things.
Clinical.
And clinical. There you go. Okay. Look at that. That's Frankie in action. Nice.
It's the bod, man.
The next year, there was this thing that showed up called the Motor Bunny. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten a hold of a PR company by the name of Fine Ass PR. That's what they call themselves. And they set up an interview with us. They said, we need you to interview the people who have the Motor Bunny. And I'm like, what the hell's a Motor Bunny? So we go and we interview these folks. Well, what they did is they went out. It was so funny because when we did the interview with them, I said, this reminds me of the simian. And they go, it kind of is. And I said, you know, we talked to them last year and they were like, yes, very boring. And what they did is they went out and they bought a simian and they took it apart. And then they put it back together with parts that were cheaper and made the motor bunny.
Okay.
That's essentially what it is. It's basically just a giant vibrator.
Sure.
You sit on.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they had a very great marketing gimmick that year, which they do every year because it's fantastic. They have these bunny ears that light up.
Oh, okay. I see.
And you show up to their booth and you sign up for their mailing list. They give you a pair of bunny ears. And so all these chicks started wearing these bunny ears. And we're like, well, why don't you get the bunny ears? They're like, oh, the Motor Bunny booth. Well, that's kind of.
You know, if Hef was still alive, they'd be sued.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. 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 So they've got these, you know, these bunny ears. Uh-huh. And they have this motor bunny. And at the end of the interview, they were like, you know, this was such a fun interview. They're like, we don't do things like this. We talk to, like, Newsweek and mm-hmm. people like that. They're like, we didn't have fun. We had fun with you guys. They're like, what's your address? We want to send you one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I hand them a business card. I didn't figure I was going to be getting this in the mail. And so the next week, these attachments show up. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. They sent us some attachments. That's cool. And then this UPS thing shows up. And let's see. Where was I? I was somewhere else that I think we might have been at a Comic-Con. I don't know. But we were gone. So my mother had to take the thing to UPS to pick it up.
Oh, well, okay.
She shows up at the UPS. And she had them loaded into the car, and she brought it over to the house, and she sends me a text, and she goes, what in the world did you order? And I said, what do you mean? And I'm thinking it's a book, you know, something. Because whenever I get UPS, it's a book from a PR company, because I've interviewed an author, or going to interview an author. Right. Not that big of a deal. She goes, no, this thing weighs like 800 pounds. It took four people to load it into my car.
You're joking. What do they charge for that?
Apparently $1,500.
And they sold the two they made?
So
we have two in stock.
They send this to me, and I'm like, well, I don't know what this is. And
oh,
so,
my God.
You know, she brings it to the house, and I chop the box open, and I'm like, oh, it's a motor bunny. She's like, what the hell's a motor bunny? And I'm like, ah, it's a vibrator you set on. And, you know, my mom's known all the nonsense that I do over the years, so she's not shocked.
Man.
And so I get a hold of Brittany. And I said, hey, we got the motor bunny. And she's like, what? And so she's ridden the motor bunny a few times and it has it in her house. But because of the fact that it is 800 pounds, over the years, they've had to make smaller ones. So now they have a smaller version. But what they have this year is, which is the strangest thing in the world, you hook it up to a iPhone or a tablet or whatever, and you play basically a knockoff version of Super Mario Brothers. And as you play the game and he gets through various levels, the Motor Bunny will change different settings.
Wow.
It's quite the deal.
And these things are just flying off the shelf or what?
Oh, yeah. They've now spawned other companies. There is another company that does this called Tremor.
Mm.
And so you can, you know, and it's essentially, since they figured out what makes the simian work and all these companies are jumping into it, it's sort of like when the ingredients for Viagra and Cialis sure. When they didn't renew the patent and those basically became on the market, you now have things like Blue Chew. So,
what is different? What?
I've never done this Blue Chew, but I hear about it everywhere.
Okay. I know they're out there. I just haven't ever taken
those things.
But
you basically, it's a chewable version of Cialis or Viagra.
let's go back to what.
Okay.
What I was saying before in this, there's a in one room where there are just little what kiosks or whatever they have. Is it the company that has it and they have a couple of the girls who work with it? Or do the girls themselves have their own little kiosk?
Well, some of them do have their own booths.
Okay.
The first year we went out there, they had one room that was just devoted to sex toys. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, whips and chains at one booth and, you know, the various, you know, Motor Bunny and all the various people. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then there was the jet that, which I think is hilarious because, and I wish we would have got, I think I did get video of this because I thought it was hilarious. But there was a Japanese company and they had made these virtual reality sex dolls where you could slap on these glasses.
Sure.
And you could, you know, fondle the model and.
Yeah.
And things. And me and Brittany were really geeked out by this. You know, oh my God, virtual reality, all the stuff. The Japanese people at this thing were geeked out by the stick. And they were asking her various questions about, oh, how'd you make this? All these different things. So I thought that was kind of entertaining.
Well, there's a good topic there. Let's jump aside there for a second. Already that was supposed to have been taken off, right? I mean, what happened to the virtual sex thing? I mean, nobody has put together a package or an item that's really let that thing go flying then, right?
The real doll people are trying to put together now artificial intelligence.
But the real can... that is also, that's for like a real geek. Those things are like incredibly expensive.
Oh yeah.
And
like
so that's
$4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, which is what, you know, a geek in the basement saves up for. Okay. And yes. I've seen the documentaries
or the guy with all the guns in Colorado.
I've seen the documentaries, you know, the guys who live with them, they got a couple of them and, you know, and that's their, that's their community. But the point is, all this stuff about having virtual sex, it really hasn't taken off. What are you doing, right? It's...
Well, the first couple of years, we interviewed a chick by the name of Ella Darling, who is really big into the virtual reality sex thing.
Well, what is it? I mean, where is it? Nobody's doing
it. It really hasn't
taken
off.
No, no. Well, why?
The VR goggles and all that.
Why hasn't that? That was supposed to be really sensational. Literally sensational because you would get senses and things. Why hasn't that, you know?
It just
hasn't.
It probably just hasn't. I don't know. That's
so you didn't see any. There's nobody you saw at AVN that had any kind of a real virtual something new.
They didn't really have
the bomb.
You know, any of that. It's kind of went away.
Yeah, that's strange because there was so much push about it and what have you. Let's see. What else can we ask? I don't know. You know what I always wanted to ask these people, the performers, is when they put these things together, when they're going to put, I mean, I don't even know how it's put together. I know how movies are made, but how do they put, you know, one of these DVDs, you know, together? I mean, and do they have like, well, I'm not going to work with her or him or I'm, you know what I'm saying? How do they decide what goes on?
There is some of that.
What do you know that, in other words, they don't want to say things like that, right? Because you could get them in, you know, Aurora Snow. You remember Aurora Snow? Have you heard of Aurora Snow?
I've heard the name, yes.
She really did a whole bunch of it. She's in a couple of documentaries and now she writes for the Daily Beast. She's a pretty good writer and she writes a lot about the,
awesome,
the porn industry that she remembers. You can follow her on Twitter and she's great. And she talks about how, you know, what she does and everything, and the bad things and the good things and the stuff that was never talked about. But I never got anyone to just get on and talk about, say like, well, what kind of rights did they do? If you want a job and then they tell you, who puts together the staff? So, well, you're going to work with Molly Jilly and then the other one, you're going to have two scenes, whatever, and then you're going to do this. And who coordinates all this stuff? Somebody's got to be organizing this stuff.
There's got to be, you know, there is definitely, the people that, that organized that part of it.
But they don't talk about stuff, or doesn't anybody even ask them?
I don't think anybody really ever asks them.
See, that's why they don't want to talk about these things, because then they come up with names, you know, because they're, I just don't know how they pair them, what they do, and you would think that would be interesting to some people, but guess not.
Yes. That definitely, well, you know.
Not those big guys, the guys who go in there for $100 a day and slobbering, but I don't know what they're doing. You know, what do they care, right?
Slobber.
Well, you know, I just can imagine. I have this idea in my head of, because I've seen a couple of those, you know, videos from there and stuff, and they show them with the guy, and oh, she hugged me, right, and gave me a thing, and she smelled good. And that literally sound like, they would, you know, they came in a big bus and go back to their cages later. They sound weird, unless they picked those guys particularly. But anyway, go on. So tell me, who does the best business? Who's doing the best business right now when you were there?
A company by the name of Pornhub.
Pornhub is actually a company then. It's not
that,
just...
That is pretty much... the company name is called MindGeek.
Okay.
But... you know, I remember, this had to be 4 or 5 years ago, where everybody was, you know, angry at Pornhub. They're like, oh, they're stealing, you know, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And now Pornhub's got the biggest booth at the convention. Not this year, because they weren't at the convention, but that's...
Isn't it the number one?
Different day.
Yeah, I mean, you hear Pornhub comes up in jokes, as if, like, everyone knows it, right? That's why you would use that for the porn site, right?
Well,
jokes and comedies.
There is a rumor, which, you know, I love rumor and innuendo, as they say.
Yeah.
That Pornhub might just buy the AVNs. They just might do what Billy Corrigan did for the National Wrestling Alliance. I'd just buy the whole damn thing.
And then just...
Then it would be Pornhub presents the AVNs. Because essentially, and I don't know if you know the story about Billy Corrigan from Smashing Pumpkins buying the National Wrestling Alliance.
No, I didn't even, I knew of the Smashing Pumpkins, but I don't know any of their names. I couldn't.
Essentially, the NWA was three letters. And Billy Corrigan wanted a wrestling promotion, so he bought the NWA, and now he's built it into a wrestling organization. Whereas MindGeek is tooling with the idea of maybe just buying the AVN.
And who were they? Just a were they a bunch of people who put out porn material and then just decided to do this website, or what?
I think that's kind of what it was. Mm. And now these porn people will upload. They'll have accounts and they'll upload content to Pornhub, and they get paid on the views.
Oh, you know, this is something I always wondered, it started, there was so much free porn at one point, right? That's when it started really, it was affecting their business, right?
Yeah.
Because it was all, you know, there was all these charges, and then all of a sudden there's free porn. But here's what I never understood, and that is that somebody, in Marx, maybe they're Marx or what have you, somebody went out and bought, like, you remember what they used to cost? I mean, they were pretty expensive at one time, right? So, So somebody went out and you know, uploading speed wasn't what it is now either, right? So somebody went out and bought, like, for $70, you know, buys the Gang Bang Girls, right? And then this is, right, this thing goes on for 90 minutes or whatever, right?
Yes.
Now they bought that personal thing, and then they put it on a site, they upload it on a site, so that everyone could see it for nothing. That was, like, very weird that, because stuff had to be, there was so much free stuff, but it was bought by somebody. Why would they give it, right? Because the company's not going to give it away for nothing. They could cut it up as promos, right? But they wouldn't just give away a whole thing. And yet there were people uploading stuff that they personally bought. Now, aside from the generosity involved, there's something mad about that. Isn't there? I mean, do people do that? They don't do it now, because even the little independent sex workers. have their own stuff, right?
Well, like for instance, we interviewed, I'm trying to remember her freaking name, Jordan Starstruck. That's her name.
Jeez.
She is.
They're coming out of the woodwork.
Is she?
Oh, woodwork! I didn't even realize what I said. Go ahead. Oh, boy.
I'll tell you, I still use all those Cthulhuisms, and people love the crap out of them.
Go ahead. So these people, what?
Jordan Starstruck. She is a, she runs a dungeon, we'll say.
Okay.
That's her day job. She runs a dungeon. And then she's a transsexual porn person.
Okay.
And she puts out clips, and she puts out movies, and she masturbates on Twitter and different different things.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's, you know, people like her, and she's making money. And then there's other people that are just, they're porn people, and they want to be known as porn people.
How do we know these people are making money in their own independent? You know, here's what, when the Honesty and I did a show a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, I don't know. And we talked about the amazing amount of traffic content that's on the interweb, right? And the idea is this: there's so much sexual things. There's so many independent performers, and all the ones you're connected to with it. And I'm going, do these geeks, these marks? I mean, isn't there a limited audience? It turns out. How do they make any money? In other words, does one guy just buy a ton of things or whatever?
Okay. I have two stories.
Give me stories of the market. Here we go. Here's Jiggy Jaguar, Cthulhu Chronicles. Go ahead.
One, because I know she doesn't listen to this show, I'll be able to tell that story.
Okay.
But, I'll get to that here in just a second. But there was a couple that we interviewed out there. They are in a three-way relationship. Basically, this dude is in a relationship with two chicks. And they're on, you know, these Chatterbait and MyFreeCams and all these things. And they basically make money in Alaska, of all places, doing the porn thing. They upload clips to the various sites. They've... You know, they're on these Chatterbait things, and how these people make money on like Chatterbait and MyFreeCams is these people spend what they call tokens. They have these tokens. You buy tokens, and then you tip the performers. And the second year, is it the second year? First year, second year, whatever. We had a porn star ask Brittany, my girlfriend, at this event. She's like, are you in the business? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, you should be. You're hot. And so Brittany tried the webcam thing for a little bit, and she made like a couple $100. She did it a couple times, made a couple $100 just off pervs going into a room and watching her do stuff, and then they'd throw her money.
Well,
tokens. Sorry, not money. Tokens.
Yeah. Well, so who sends out the money that equals the tokens? Is someone running this place? I mean, how's that work?
Oh, yeah, because like Chatterbait and these places are making money. It's kind of like all these...
So they take a percentage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Still, that makes it even worse. How are these people... You know what it's like to, you must know that, I mean, you know, what's your monthly nut doing? Well, there's another bad way of putting it.
Yes.
Okay. You don't ask.
I think it's essentially.
How can you make a living?
They're providing you the audience, because everybody is on Chatterbait or everybody's on MyFreeCams.
Yeah, but you go to one of those free cam things, because I know somebody who did that, and then I lost track of her, and then I was looking for her, and I was trying to get her on one of those things, you know, she's never there to talk to her, and, you know, and it's like, you go there, and I put in her name, and, you know, it doesn't show up, or it shows up in another one, you're not there. But my point is that there are pages of thumbnails, which, you know, there's like hundreds. There's hundreds of them.
Yes.
So that's like having, if you have a cat house, right? And the people who come in, imagine if the guys who come in, because they're, you know, the mostly guys. Yeah, well, like, you know, whatever it's called. You want to call. So a guy comes in and there's like, it's standing room only just with the girls. It's ridiculous. How, you know, I mean, you'd go into a fancy one or one of the ones they have in, one of the ranches out in Nevada or something. And there's a few here and there. It's not like 100 sitting in a room. How does any one of them make money? I'm interested in this. I want to know, as a cottage industry, which I've been now for many years, how do they make money? How do they live? Do they not, get on Twitter and ask for sandwiches? Cause, you know.
That is always the fun little part of the, any business. Cause I have on several occasions been like, okay, how are you keeping the lights on?
Yeah, that's the right point.
You know, like, years and years ago when me and my digital marketing guy were trying to buy a local low power, television station, and they kept telling us, well, we don't make any money here. And I'm like, okay. And I had to like really break this down to the guy. I was sitting in his office and I'm like, how are we able to sit in this office with the lights on?
I guess was he talking profit? Is he just saying, I mean, in breaking even is not making a living, is it?
Well, see, my whole thing is like, for instance, with you and I sitting here having this conversation, okay, you obviously have, you know, sponsors, books, all these things that you're doing. That's why you're able to pay your internet bill to be able to correspond with me on Skype. And obviously I have sponsors on my radio program and things like that for me to be able to pay for my internet connection to talk to you on Skype.
Well, I have other things. I make money. But no, I make money doing other things. I've never made anything but make two pair of pants and, you know, when I get all the time there, because SRN pays for the, you know, broadband, everything. I don't do it. I don't make anything.
Well, I know, but
I couldn't.
There are ways.
Okay, fine.
Money coming in somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. But
you know, and it's like with these guys, it's like, okay, how in the world are they? Well, for instance, and this is just. Anybody who knows anything about these Comic-Cons and all this crap knows this. But how are they able to rent the Hard Rock Hotel? Or as I should say, rent it, because it's not the Hard Rock Hotel anymore. It's done. That's gone.
Hard Rock is gone? The whole Hard Rock place is gone? Is there more Hard Rocks?
Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas got bought by Richard Branson, and they are all going to be rebranded as Virgin Hotels.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he bought all this. Okay.
So they're going to have the porn convention next year in the Virgin Hotel. Yes, I know. It's the material rights itself.
That's so obvious.
But, okay, how are they able to have this convention in Las Vegas in January? Well, part of the reason is that people buy booth space. It's kind of like with the Comic-Cons. How are they able to have these Comic-Cons? Well, people buy booth space. So they're able to pay. That's essentially how it works.
Okay.
That's how they.
And that's just once a year. And these girls, these performers, let's just call them performers. The performers have got to work a lot, right?
Yes.
And they've got, and their expenses, aside from like makeup or whatever it is, unless the company does it, but I mean, things that they have to do, certainly they're testing all that stuff. I mean, when they, you know, most of them don't cheat, I hope. And, right? So they got expenses.
Yes. Well, like, for instance, and I don't know how the hell we became good friends, but we're apparently good friends.
Oh, you probably
There is a woman by the name of Mallory Maneater.
No, I don't know her. No. Okay.
She had gotten a hold of me, and she was like, you know, I'm going to be at the event and all these different things. And one of the things that she had planned on doing was she was going to go and get her pass, essentially, through My Free Cams. And then when she got there, they told her, you don't have a pass, because you haven't been online a certain amount of time this year, so you're not entitled to a pass. So she had to do some quick thinking, got a hold of a few people. She set up a signing at a booth. They gave her a pass. She got in. But, you know, there's things you have to do to be able to get the be able to get into these events. Like there was a woman, probably someone you will not know, by the name of Tana Lee. That's her name. And she goes by Big Red Ho on Twitter, I think.
Fine.
she spent money on a makeup artist and dresses and things for the awards to walk the red carpet. And on Monday, or I guess it would have been Tuesday, when she got there to check in, she wanted to know when she was going to be on the red carpet. And they're like, oh, no, you're not on the red carpet. So she got all over Twitter several days in a row and was bitching and complaining about the fact that I've spent all this money and I'm just going to have really nice dresses and really great makeup for my booth, so but that, I'm that, not going to get to be on the red carpet.
Well, is that about like a big party they have in the beginning or a big introduction or what is the red carpet?
The red carpet is for the awards.
Oh, okay. That's, when they do
that. Yeah,
awards, yeah.
I interviewed, we one year got to do video interviews on the red carpet. And I got to interview everybody from, and I don't, you might know this name, maybe not, Mr. Skin. We got to interview him.
I don't know Mr. Skin.
And a few others. Mr. Skin, runs a website called MrSkin.com, of course.
Yeah.
And, it essentially is, he has went through every single Hollywood movie and has cataloged, when people's, you know, nipples are on screen or their butts
are
on screen.
Oh, okay. Really?
You can get on his site, and it's all categorized by actress and actor and all these various.
I gotta check that one out. That's a good. That's
kind of a hokey deal, but you know, Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin. Oh, well, that's the end. Is that one okay? Fine.
Yeah, I got to be aware of Mr. Skin when he used to be on a show that was hosted by a guy by the name of Tom Likas, who used to be a radio guy. And
what did he do? Is he retired or something?
He went to internet radio, and then he couldn't get a lot of people to support him on his, you know, paid subscription show. And so he got rid of his internet radio part of it, and he became a subscription-only podcast.
Jeez. Let's move over to radio for the next, just 20 minutes and get the hell out of here.
Okay.
Because I think I have the same question, which I'm just going to throw out there. Maybe you know.
The iHeart firings? We want to talk about that?
No, I don't know. I don't know about, I don't know about that. I don't follow the news, but here's, I do know this. AM radio of talk radio is now totally conservative oriented, right? I mean, that's their audience.
Essentially. Period. Yeah, that's the audience.
There's no, okay. How is that possible? This is, to me, it's just like every single one. And I don't listen to them, but now and then I'll turn on the radio to see, because there's ones who substitute for one, you know, for the regular names, right?
Yes.
And then if you went, like we went on that website and saw all those, ones that last time we did this, we went on that website and saw all these conservative voices and stuff. And I think it's like, how can there be, this would be like Eric Clapton, in the 70s, Eric Clapton, and then everybody else who does live guitars plays like Eric Clapton. In other words, there's no one's different from the other one. And it's one after another. If you listen to two of them in a row, you're not getting anything different. Where is this audience is my question. Where is the audience? Even the older generation or the demographic that likes and listens to this stuff, how many are there?
And as you know with radio, the numbers are all bullshit.
So when you hear these guys who I've never heard of, them substituting for, you know, Glenn Beck today
Ripley, Mark Stein substituting for Rush Limbaugh.
See, you know the names, yeah. So what are they doing? Where are they? And how come? Well, you know more about radio because you're reading radio anyway. How many live guys, local? They have local guys?
Rush Limbaugh. There's Rush Limbaugh, and then there's everybody else. That's essentially what it comes down to. They're on
late at night. They're on here and there. There's, you know, I mean.
Well, then there is, which I had this conversation with my mother a couple weeks ago because it's just, it's fascinating to me. But then there's Bill O'Reilly, who.
Oh yeah, he just started doing some other crap, right? What's he doing?
Bill O'Reilly has now become this generation's Paul Harvey. I don't know how that worked. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Because Bill O'Reilly, when he was still on Fox News, he did a radio show called The O'Reilly Factor.
Right.
And it was god-awful. And he tried to do, you know, his, as you say, his shtick, and it didn't work. And so they paired him with female co-hosts, which a couple of them he sexually harassed and they left.
Okay.
But we didn't find that out till late. And he couldn't get the job done. And so at a certain point, his radio syndicator's like tapping him on the shoulder going, you know, Bill, this ain't working. So he leaves radio. And then he focused on TV, and then TV fell apart on him because of the Me Too and all the harassment stuff, all that stuff. And so Fox News gets rid of him. So then he goes to his subscription-only website, and he's got his, you know, O'Reilly people that pay attention to him. And then he starts doing these minute commentaries.
Minute commentaries.
Little 60-second minute commentaries that all these radio stations would run, and basically what it was...
Was he got a sponsor, and then he did stuff and said, gave it to him for nothing. Yeah, okay,
the sponsor on the front end, on the back end, and then you have in the middle is his commentary.
Yeah.
And then that became a 5-minute commentary that stations could run at noon. And now it's expanded to 15 minutes. And now he's on 70 stations across the country, and he's filling this need that Paul Harvey had way back in the day. And now he has become this generation's version of Paul Harvey. And I'm like, holy crap. How did this happen?
Just living off his name. I don't know how these sponsors, you know, I don't, I mean, what are sales like in radio anymore?
You know what is so funny about radio is when I was trying to get back into radio, I was, you know, being offered these 40,000, 50,000 a year jobs, you know,
this was
the salary. Now it's, maybe we could do low 20s. It's because
to do what?
It's because radio stations don't bill anything because no one's spending any money.
Yeah.
Like, getting back to the conservative thing that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You have Rush Limbaugh, and then you have Hannity, which is.
Well, we know that, but who are these other guys? There's so many other ones.
Clone.
But there's so many other ones. What are they?
Well, then we have guys like Glenn Beck, who Glenn Beck is such a I'm still in a way am a big Glenn Beck mark.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy, you know, he started out right after 9/11 where he was going to be the this generation's version of Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got on Fox, and he was the biggest thing on the planet as far as, you know, radio and TV. Oh my God, Glenn Beck. And then he started, I don't know how the hell he was able to pull this off, but then he started getting under the Obama administration's skin, essentially.
Well, you know, wait a second though. Forget about content. Things went so well for him money wise that he went way overboard, right? And opened up in New York. Yeah. That's why he moved. It was all money. It was all right.
He got under the Obama administration's skin, essentially, and he started coming up with stories.
I know. They were
outrageous. People started quitting the administration because they're like, oh my God, I don't want Glenn Beck talking about me, you know, tomorrow morning or whatever.
Right.
And then, as I always like to say, he got the phone call. And you never know who is the one behind the phone call, but all of a sudden, he didn't want to talk politics anymore. Mm-hmm. He was about love and inspiration mm-hmm. and freedom and all these things. Didn't want to talk politics. He was not doing politics. He was not talking about politics. It's divided the country. I'm not doing anything like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he started buying these Humvees and these houses that were equipped with bulletproof glass, and he became paranoid, and he started buying jets that were, you could drop a nuclear bomb on them, and they would sail through and have no problem, and he started being just paranoid himself. So God knows who put the fear into God into this guy.
Well, he also went way overboard. He had a gigantic organization.
Texas,
because, it's a no tax.
And he had the mental breakdown, and they were spinning him around in the gyroscope.
Yeah, no tax, and he was...
all these things. So you had that. Well, then you have, what, like you say, that they have some of these people that are on the air. They have, like, the Art Bells of the... Well, Art Bell's not alive anymore. But you have, the alien people, and you have the random conservative people. And what happens is, like, there was a guy... He used to fill in for Glenn Beck. His name was Joe Pags.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too.
Now he has his own show, and he's a big deal.
What's a big deal? What is a big deal? Where is he? What goes on? And why? So people who listen to one want to listen to the other. I don't get. There's no diversity. It's not even like they use different personalities like they did with music. They'd find personalities to do disc jockeys, right? They were a little different, each one of them. These guys are all the same. The same talking points, the same everything.
The only one that is, and you and I both kind of share a love of this next gentleman, but
Savage? Savage doesn't have...
Exactly. Michael Savage, baby.
I looked for him the other day, and because he got thrown off of a bunch of places, and he's got these, there's a website. You can listen to what he said, or you can listen to it live. He still does stuff live.
Basically, he had signed a contract with... I believe it was Cumulus, and he was doing an afternoon show. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they shortened it to 2 hours.
Why'd they kick him off? Why?
And then they shortened it to an hour. Well, Cumulus doesn't have any money. Cumulus, a couple years ago, declared bankruptcy and told a whole bunch of people, we can't pay anymore. That's why Don Imus went off the air, because they called him up one day and said, we ain't paying you anymore, because we don't have it.
Yeah.
So Don's like, well, I'm going to retire. And then, of course, we all found out what happened to Don Imus. But Savage was the same way. Now Savage does basically a podcast.
Yeah, geez.
And there are some stations that will carry his show. And so they'll carry the hour, and then they'll splice in commercials.
Oh, who's listening? Does anybody do ratings anymore?
Well, see, this is the thing. All the ratings and all this stuff are horseshit. I had back when we were doing this thing called Concerts for a Cause, I got approached by one of these local radio people to buy advertising. And so I wanted them to give me the spiel, because I'd never heard the spiel from that end of things, for being the potential customer. And so they pull out the coverage map, and they go, well, this is our coverage map. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, every radio in this coverage map is tuned to us. And it's like, really? Are you serious?
What a mess.
Because it's like, we all know that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, what will become of it all? Tell everyone where the heck you are now and when you're on stuff. We can get out of here.
I am on JiggyJaguar.com. JiggyJaguar.com.
Okay, there's still a JiggyJaguar.com.
Yes, there is still a JiggyJaguar.com.
Right, tell them.
I have all of my past episodes up there. We have a 24/7 stream of content.
Wow.
I'm on all the various places still. I post a lot of our porn interviews and porn content to YouTube. I also cross-posted over to my own Pornhub channel.
You have a Pornhub channel. Okay.
I have a Pornhub channel exclusively for interviews, just in case YouTube decides, well, we're not going to have you.
Okay.
You know, we don't want that interview up there, so they take it down. So it's on Pornhub as well.
But, all right. And that's it. What can they buy for you? How do you make money?
Well, they can buy, you know, I got all the t-shirts and shenanigans on the website and various things.
Okay.
I mostly have been making a lot of, well, not on a lot of money, but not like I was. But I basically sell radio advertising off this place called Fiverr.
Okay.
I've been doing that for a couple years, and we had a guy one time. This is kind of ties into the porn trip. We had a guy last year who had a male enhancement supplement get a hold of me on Fiverr, and he's like, I want to buy some advertising. And I'm like, yeah, why don't we do this? Why don't you give me a little bit more than just $5, and I'll get your product in front of everybody in the porn industry. And so he essentially paid for our Vegas trip last year.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, you have sponsors and stuff. It's good. As long as you stay away from Alex Jones, you'll be fine, I guess.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm a big Alex Jones mark. I like Alex.
You just leave me alone.
I love Alex.
Oh, and it's not even, you know, he could be funny, but he's not even funny anymore. I can't forgive him for some of the stuff.
You know what I think is amazing? If you watch the, his videos, that set.
Oh, I've seen some of the stuff on his.
He used to be in a little tiny, like, closet studio.
And now
he's got, like, this giant studio. And I'm like, what in the world?
And all that junk is snake oil. He's selling snake oil, right? I mean, all that junk that he got there, he has.
I bought a couple different things off Alex Jones. The only thing that has ever really worked that I bought off his thing is that knockout stuff.
What is a knockout?
It's like a sleep deal. You take two of those and you are out. You are dead to the world.
Now, you know, if it came from anywhere.
I've known that he's had that actually works. Yeah. A lot of that stuff is snake oil.
I wouldn't even take comps from him. Jiggy Jaguar, everyone. Don't be a stranger. Let's have you on again as the year goes on, because you never know when I'm just going to walk away. Right.
Well, that too, and also, while we've been talking here,
yes,
I have been tweeting at various porn people.
Okay.
And so I am trying to line you up some porn.
You do that and get to me separately.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll talk about, I'll give you names and things, and we'll talk about what we can do, because I just let everyone you know, if you talk to them, let them know that if they don't want to be identified, that's fine. Okay.
Oh, most of these people are going to be like, yes, I want to be identified.
Okay, but then they're going to want to.
Crap.
Yeah, and they'll be surprised how, and you tell them, you know, I'm not looking to get you or got you or anything. They just want to talk about things that nobody else talks about in terms of how this stuff goes on. So you'll do that for me and I'll be in touch with you. I want to get out of here. So listen, thank you for showing up, for having a clean computer that sound. And I'll come on, you know, I'll come on one of these days. I'll come on when you get some of your nut job guys. And, you know.
Yes. We'll have you on when we have, you know, IQ Al Rizzoli.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like these guys, you know, take them. It's we'll
Jake
do that.
Jake Izzo and all these guys.
Okay, James. Thank you very much. And,
thank you, sir. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
We'll be in touch. Take care.
Thank you, brother.
Jiggy the Jaguar. Jiggy the Jaguar. Yeah, we're going to get out of here. Because look, we just about did it exactly like the old days here. Let me close this here. Bing! There goes the Skype. It's all over. My name is Frank Cotolo, man in the name of Jordan Digging Game here. Okay, you know the drill? Not even a drill. I don't know what it is. Let's get back together, hopefully, next week. Everything will go straight and we'll have more Dusty Maven. Should be here. If not, we'll do something else. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. And, you know, see what goes on. That's it. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil. Wherever you are located. A lot of talking. Well, I told you Jiggy would be on. Well, neither he nor I has anything more to say.